Christine, thanks for joining us. This week we are talking about a shrine that was vandalized. What do you know?
Well, the Santa Rita Shrine, Anthony, in what was once Santa Rita, New Mexico, is sort of a home to the town of Santa Rita that once existed where the now Chino Mine is. And the Catholic Church in Santa Rita was disassembled. Basically, all of the religious artifacts were sent out to other churches in the area. One statue, the statue of Saint Rita, was kept, and the people who were born and raised in Santa Rita, they were given this plot of land to put the statue on. It was made in the 1940s, and they built a shrine around it, and it's where people go to pray, and Saint Rita, interestingly enough, is the saint of lost causes. Well, sometime last weekend, somebody severely damaged the shrine, smashed in the glass, smashed the face of the saint, and Crime Stoppers has offered a $1,000 reward. There's a committee, the Santa Rita Shrine Committee, and those are the folks who were born and raised there, and they're accepting donations. They're checking to see if the statue can be repaired. They've taken it to the university to visit with one of the former pottery professors there to see if it can be repaired, but the face was really, really severely smashed.
What have the folks from the former community, what have they had to say about this?
They're heartbroken. I mean, this is their shrine. It's really an homage to the town of Santa Rita that no longer exists. And, you know, that town, those people were born and raised there. The town was vacated in the 1970s when the mine expanded, and basically all the houses had to be vacated and were bought up. And so many of those people settled in other parts of Grant County. Some moved away. They actually have a mass every year on May 22nd, which is the feast day for St. Rita. And a lot of the families will come back for that. So they're heartbroken. Like, who would do this? So they're just really now focused on seeing if the statue can be repaired and then probably adding some security once they do rebuild the shrine. We've had two stories in the paper this week, and I'm sure we'll do follow-ups.
Okay, Christine, we'll stay updated with that. We are going to move on and talk with Ben Fisher. Ben, this is a little bittersweet moment because for the last time I get to ask you, how are things going in Silver City?
Never a dull moment.
All right, Ben. We're starting off talking about the diversion group. This is the Gila River Diversion Group's engineer announced that the project will lose half of its water.
That's correct. So for some time, there's been questions about how this diversion project would actually work. And for kind of the first time, we're getting some answers as to what amount of water that will actually be available for beneficial use. CAP entity engineer Stantec delivered a report at the last CAP entity board meeting that said that the project as designed currently would actually only produce 51%, that's 3,583 acre feet of the total water that will be diverted because they will lose the rest to evaporation and seepage.
Is the group proposing any different changes to their plan?
No, their point of view remains the same as it always has, that any amount of water that they could get from this project is worth any cost. They knew that that they were going to look at heavy losses from evaporation and seepage. Any project in this part of the country does. But it wasn't until now that we saw really how much of the water that's diverted out of the Gila and San Francisco rivers is going to go straight into the air and into the ground.
Did this really catch people by surprise? Is this something that folks may be saying should have been brought up earlier with the group and its plan? I want to move on. There were some local candidate forums. Could you share with us what we learned about the candidates?
So we started off our candidate forums for this year with District 1, the candidates for District 1 County Commission here in Grant County. That is Ty Bays and Javier Salas. And we followed that up with the candidates for sheriff. And what really came out as interesting to us out of those first two forums is how similar the viewpoints from the Republican and Democratic parties were. In the District 1 forum, we saw Bays and Salas kind of both talking about trying to refocus the county commission on local issues. The county commission has made some, you know, sweeping resolutions in recent years pertaining to federal decisions, and they were hoping to bring the focus back to locally. The sheriffs both are focused on the same problems. The only significant difference in the sheriff candidates came when a question from the audience asked them to address the Constitutional Sheriff and Peace Officers Association, of which Republican candidate Raymond Tavazon is a member. He defended that position, said that specifically with red flag gun control bills being proposed for next session in the legislature, that if he were elected sheriff, he would not enforce those state laws.
Now we are moving on to previewing the Village of Santa Clara's 150th birthday happening this weekend. What's in store?
Oh, it's going to be a great day of celebrations. There will be music and vendors in the park, speeches and historical presentations from some of the town staff, and they're just hoping to celebrate this landmark kind of as they're in the middle of so much change. In recent years, the current Village Board of Trustees and Clerk Sheila Hudman have been hard at work changing the face of downtown, just planning all of these different events, and working to kind of raise their profile in the region.
Now, there are some staffing changes happening there at the Silver City Daily Press, as I mentioned earlier. Ben, it's been a pleasure working with you. You are moving on, is that correct?
That is correct, Anthony. It's a bittersweet announcement, but yes, I was offered and accepted the politics and government desk at the Dubuque Telegraph Herald in Iowa. They need me there pretty quickly with elections coming up. So Friday will be my last day.
Okay. Well,
here at the Daily Press.
We sure are going to miss you, Ben, and we appreciate all of your hard work in reporting and informing us on what's happening in Silver City. Are there any other changes in store for the Silver City Daily Press?
Actually, this announcement seems to have caught on. we're looking at a lot of change afoot at the Daily Press right now. Christine Steele, who we heard from earlier today, has stepped down as Daily Press editor. She's led the news team for 2 years, but she will now be working for as the newspaper's special projects editor, especially focusing on her long-term beat, crime and court. With me going to Iowa is our senior marketing consultant, Andrew Olney Larson, who, also, coincidentally is my spouse. And so she has, worked for the last 4 years just as I have here at the Daily Press. And she focused a lot on, she made and sold ads to local businesses, but she also focused on, tying the business to the Daily Press, building local partnerships through trade and facilitating sponsorships. Things like that. Her ad sales duties, at least, will be taken over by Matt Runnels and Jaime Ramirez and Chris Kim, being the most recent addition to the team. So lots is in flux up here.
Well, we want to thank you all at the Silver City Daily Press who are moving on to new positions. Thank you all for your hard work, and a special welcome to everyone in their new roles. And we look forward to speaking with you all next week for the Silver City Report. Ben, thank you so much, and we wish you the best in Iowa.
It's been an absolute pleasure, Anthony.